SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, Travers fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. Before we talk Travers, let's get this morning's unpleasantries out of the way. It stormed here for the last three. I don't know. I actually slept late for me, but it's been thunderstorming. It's finally lightening up after just a complete, just relentless series of thunderstorms. So I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't see how they're racing on the turf today. And actually, they kind of expected, based on some advance warning, they kind of knew, because I actually had this conversation with Mike Lakow as we try to continue to get Minute Mouse into a race, and there had been a book race for her, and Lakow actually pushed it back just because he anticipated. He said Wednesday, even into Thursday, could be a little iffy, so they were a little cognizant of that. And as a result, you still have races that are going to come off invariably. The jump race, the Walsh novice hurdle today, is postponed. So, and actually, we're going to talk to Sean Clancy. I reached for Sean, Bill Gallo, in a commission, a big meeting all morning, actually. So Sean's going to join us, and he's got Gibrafaro tomorrow in the New York Turf Riders Cup, the other grade one, really the feature always around Travers Week. And Sean actually with a nice win down at Colonial the other day. They had those two jump races, and Sean broke a maiden with a filly, with a mare. So we're going to talk to Sean Clancy, and maybe he'll provide an update. But I do know that the Walsh is postponed. Today's $75,000 2 3/8 mile event, and I'm gonna really say that if the fourth and the sixth, the eighth is a 50 claimer, the tenth maiden 40s. Fourth is the John's Call. I'm sure they'll try to keep that on. And then there's a maiden special that actually has some pedigree to it. But we're going to expect that those are all off. We'll see. We'll get some word. The John's Call would be a mess if it doesn't stay on. And that's the mile and 5/8. So we'll see. All right. I'll get you that update as soon as it comes. Meanwhile, those of you that have been listening to the replay, I hope, and based on some emails and social media response, the Jack Whitaker visit from, as it turns out, 7 years ago, and that surprised me when Casey was in yesterday and didn't expect him to be in. He'll be in Thursday and Friday. But Kay, spent a little time on the board yesterday too, and I said, when was this? So he went poking around, and it was from March of 2012. So I was shocked that it didn't feel like it was that long ago. But Tina and I had a couple of things to do, and so one of the reasons that I moved to have the Whitaker piece run yesterday was that we You know, I thought, all right, let's slip out at 11:30. But I couldn't tear myself away, honestly. And I said, let's wait till noon to leave, because I was just as captivated and excited listening to Jack Whitaker as I was that, you know, that day. And if it was 7 years ago, that might have been most likely might have been an afternoon by that point. So the visit from Jack Whitaker, the late Jack Whitaker, really, for me, it was an incredible thrill. And, you know, playing those cuts from the Belmont, from Secretariat's Belmont, making it, you know, making it special to have him, you know, respond to the moments. It was really fun. So I hope you enjoyed it, and I appreciate the nice feedback. And indeed, everything is off the turf today, and that's too bad. The Johns, you know, the races with MTOs, that's fine. You know, like the 10th has got some MTOs, and that was a big field in the 8th. We'll see how many stay in. But the Johns call, I mean, Highland Sky's not going to run, right? And Turco Bravo entered as an MTO. Very clever, actually, by David Canizzo to put Turco Bravo in there as an MTO. It's a distance that's up his alley, certainly, the mile and five ace. All right, so be it. And we'll see, you know, around 10:30, 11, what that results in. Focusing more, though, on Saturday, they'll put the draw together for this fabulous Travers Day. Yesterday evening at the Adelphi, they put the field together. And let's give it to you for those that haven't had a chance. Owendale leaves from the rail with Florent Giroux for Brad Cox. 6-1. One of the co-third choices. Code of Honor for Shug and Johnny V. Second choice at 4-1 from the two. Shug very comfortable with the two-hole. Highest Honors, one of the two, Chad Browns. And Highest Honors, 10-1 from the three with Louis Saez. And you know, I know some people, both of the, Chad's runners, installed at 2-1, 10-1 on David Aragona's line. You know, looking at bikinis from the nine hole with Javier Castellano, 10-1 for both of them. And right away people are like, oh, you'll never get 10-1. Well, you might not get 10-1, but we'll talk about this at some point too. It's a 12 horse field. You know, not every horse that you say, oh, this one will take money. Okay. Code of Honor, second choice at 4-1. Tacitus is 5-2, might go a few ticks lower, but it's a 12 horse field. There's going to be horses. Owendale 6-1. Owendale might float up as the Chad Browns come down, but is Highest Honors or Looking at Bikinis going to be, you know, a lower price than Code of Honor? They're both going to be bet more heavily than Code of Honor. You think? I don't know if it's just the rush to criticize morning lines, but whatever. Laughing Fox 30-1 from the four. Really didn't matter where Laughing Fox and Everfast, they draw the four and the five, and the two of them are going to be further back. Obviously, Laughing Fox, a candidate, you know, to trail early. And Ricardo Santana Jr., of course, we talked to Steve Asmussen on Monday about Laughing Fox, 30-1. Everfast, 30-1. Martin Chuan, the Peruvian rider for Dale from the five. Tacitus draws midfield, the six hole, 5-2 with Jose Ortiz. Mucho Gusto, the late Baffert edition, days after game winner. Took a little sick and just enough to knock him out of the opportunity to come for Travers. Mucho Gusto, Joe Talamo, 6-1, co-third choice. The three horses that are 6-1, Owendale, Mucho Gusto, and Tax. And there's an interesting discussion. I mean, of the three, you figure Baffert takes money. Tax, some people might be a little put off by the, he ends up in the 12-0. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, I mean, those are 3 6-1 shots with Code of Honor 4-1. And then the 2 10-1s of Chad. So you mix and match them. Be interesting to see, you know, where those numbers go north and south in a full field. Mucho Gusto, the 7-hole. Chess Chief, Dallas Stewart, Mike Smith, riding 30-1. Here's looking at Bikini in the 9-hole, 10-1. A lot of people, you know, talking about, you know, the dead rail circumstance and, you know, being out a little wider. The dead rail was a big part of the conversation. In fact, when you listen to the trainers after the draw, of course, after a rain like we got today, who knows? Just watch how the racetrack plays the next, you know, 2 full days and then into Saturday, and how it plays Saturday early in the day, because there's really no telling, you know, once the track gets, you know, inundated. And of course, I'm sure that you had it sealed, Glenn Kozak and staff. So it'll be interesting to see today, tomorrow, and on the New York Bread Showcase Day, Friday, how the inside is. Scars Are Cool. This is another sort of replacement horse for Stan Huff and the Sagamore team. And Global Campaign had been a mid-season hope for, you know, opportunities like this. And a couple of different issues, I think, even if he was right. I don't think there was necessarily a guarantee that this would be to his liking. But Scars Are Cool jumps in his stead. So another of the late additions. I mean, the horses that we didn't expect in here: Mucho Gusto, Chess Chief, and Scars Are Cool. So a quarter of the field kind of morphed and changed into Saturday's feature. Endorsed, Joel Rosario, Kieran McLaughlin, 15-1, and, you know, certainly Endorsed has got his supporters coming out of the, you know, the good stretch out effort. He had not been beyond a one turn mile, you know, going back to the Champagne, and stretched out to the mile in the 8th in the Curlin and ran very well. I wasn't keen on him myself going into the Curlin. And that gets us out. He's in the 11 hole, and that gets you to Tax. And Danny Gargan said immediately, well, this gives us no choice. We're going to have to go. And Errat Ortiz Jr. will take Tax to the lead, ideally not losing, you know, so much ground. But, I mean, Endorsed is going to be, he's certainly going to want to get position early, right to his inside, right? He's going to want to get position. Scars Are Cool is going to get some position with Gaffalione. You know, the Mucho Gusto, you know how Baffert operates. I mean, he was a little further back in his recent efforts in the Affirmed and in the Haskell. He's a little further back than he had been, you know, going, you know, into the season. He had been a much more forward type. So we'll see. But, you know, Baffert has more or less one direction, and that's go forward. I'm looking at Bikinis is going to want position. I mean, there are horses to taxes inside. Everybody else that wants to be, you know, second, third, fourth early, it's going to make it very tricky. It was certainly Errat Ortiz capable, but going to have to hustle. Doesn't have a tremendous amount of time to try to get over. So we'll see if they quarter horse out of there. It is notable how many of the players ended up, you know, the later runners ended up drawn inside. I mean, Owendale, Code of Honor, Laughing Fox, Everfast. You know, all inside. So there will be room. There will be room to see how they, you know, see how they spill out, as it were, of the gate. That's going to be the storyline, and the decisions you're going to want to make. In a lot of ways, Highest Honors probably drew, given his style and given Luis Saez, Highest Honors will be third. I'll guess that Saez will set up shop very nicely. He really benefited from this now, the more that I look at the way they're drawn. We'll see what Sean Clancy thinks, too, because he's going to join us next. John Mazza, 80-whatever years old, octogenarian horseman John Mazza, who won his first graded stake in 27 years Saturday. He'll join us, too, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Fun in the Sun is Express Vet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the turf meets the surf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with Express Vet. And while you're at it, don't miss Express Bet's $120,000 Fun in the Sun Handicapping Competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $5,000 for first, $2,000 for second, $1,000 for third, and $500 for fourth. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win a Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seat, a $12,000 value each. Express Bet account holders register free once to play all summer. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet, Saratoga, and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 into hour one on this soggy Wednesday. And of course, I'm 13 miles east of Saratoga in Greenwich. But I'm going to guess, Sean, that series of thunderstorms were just as pronounced in Saratoga as they were here.
Yeah, it's mayhem out here, actually. I just saw Tom Law, who I do the paper with. He said, "What have you accomplished today?" I said, "I've gone through 3 pairs of shoes. That's it." I've literally gone back to the office and changed my shoes 3 times. Yeah, it's a real mess. And it looks like it's going to rain all day. So I don't really know what I'm worried about the whole day, really. But anyway, you know, it's, as we say, first world problems, right? We're complaining about the weather at Saratoga.
Are the shoes, are the footwear like goggles? And you just...
Exactly. Exactly. You just keep flipping them down. I somehow come to Saratoga every year with only dress shoes and sneakers. I don't ever have a pair of actual, like, boots or rain gear or anything else. So, and every year I get here and I go, I really need to bring some kind of rubber boots or something. But maybe next year I'll actually bring rubber boots.
But, you know,
go to Walmart, get some galoshes, maybe. That's what you need.
Well, if anybody around the racetrack is a candidate for a pair of Ariat boots, it's you.
I think we need more than Ariat around here. That's the problem. You need wellies, man. You need, like, you need the waders, you know, when you're fishing in the stream. That's what you need. Yeah, I promise you. I'm sitting here watching them float the Oklahoma track. I mean, it's just, we had so much rain so fast. It's a real mess out here.
Were they able to get turf works in yesterday, though? Because that was
instrumental.
No?
No. Oh. No turf works. So, you know, it's just, it's been a mess.
Well, because guys, you know, they had been put off over the weekend, and I think everybody, you know, anybody that was looking to the Sword Dancer and the Boston Spa wanted to get their last, and I guess they'll just have to gallop in now, no?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. You know, just, I mean, this month has been just complete chaos with the weather. It just seems like every day you get these crazy rainstorms. I mean, even Monday we're over there, you know, it starts just pours after the, or not Monday, Sunday, just pours after the race.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate to say it, but I think it's just a sign of the times we live in today. You just get these dramatic
weather
patterns that are just, you know, I mean, it used to always get rain up here, but not as often as we do over the last couple of years. It just seems definitely warmer. There's no question it's warmer in the morning, and it seems like we just have more and more of these dramatic rainstorms where you used to get them, but now it's like, seems like every day or every other day you just get these 15-minute downpours out of nowhere.
This was an extensive, I mean, for 2.5 hours out here in Washington County. I mean, it just would, you know, you think, okay, yeah, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and but then another and another and another.
Yeah.
So, well, the good news
what
is.
What are you doing in Washington County? I mean, come on.
That's where I live.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense. I'll give you that one.
All right, thank you. You should have taken Miles out here yesterday, dark day for the Washington County Fair.
Oh man, he'd like that.
One of the oldest county fairs in the country.
Wow, can you cover that?
Yeah, absolutely. The racing pigs. I'm handicapping the racing pigs. We love it.
I love it. Yeah,
it's good. Speaking of handicapping, give us a couple of thoughts before we talk about the jump race tomorrow. And you're involved, so you have to be impartial. But before we talk about the Turf Riders Cup, your thoughts on the way the Travers lines up now after last night's activities?
Look, it's a, you know, as you know, when you see a 12-horse field in a wide open group, it's you know, it's indicative of the crop. So I mean, everybody's taking a shot. You can't blame him for taking a shot. You know, I think Tax obviously got the worst of it. I mean, he's got to commit from there. Tacitus, the blinker, see if that helps him. You know, I watched him breeze the other day. Breeze is fine, but he still doesn't give you that, like, I think he doesn't quite have the sense of urgency that maybe he should have. I mean, lovely horse, but you're kind of waiting for him to kind of step up. I love Shug's horse. I think he's trained well. I like the way he's kind of designed this program. It's 12 horses. Baffert's coming. Baffert sees what's going on. He's bringing a horse. You know, I think it's one of those years where you certainly don't there's nobody to duck. I mean, you line up, and you know, it's just that's been the whole year of 3-year-olds.
More or less, and it is a balanced group, and you know, a lot of people are leaning on or expecting for Tacitus to just overwhelm this group based on talent and the, you know, the constant trouble lines that you know, that have kind of dogged the season for him. And you know, Mott was pretty succinct when he said, you know, at some point you expect or hope that everything falls into place, and you know, he gets conditions you know, that he can put in his best effort cleanly and succeed. And this is certainly an ideal spot for that, potentially.
For sure. I mean, look, he'll get the trip, you know that. You know, Mott's trained him up to it, and obviously, you know, he's the right way. He's getting probably, you know, at least he's going forward. I thought his breeze was okay. But he's just one of those horses. He does tend to, you know, find a little bit of trouble, find a little bit of, you know, he just, you know, and you're kind of waiting for him to step up, you know. And maybe, well, maybe Saturday's the day that he does. I think the blinkers are certainly a good move. Can't hurt, you know, at least try to get him focused a little bit. You know, but then he's got to make his own luck. He's got to make his trip. And he's got to go on and do it now.
Well, and I'm just, I don't know what made me think of this, but Bill Mott would be looking for his first, right? Yeah, he's looking. He'd be. I can't think of a Mott Travers winner.
Wow. Seems crazy. I need to talk to the history department. Wow, I guess not.
No, I mean, we know Shug is looking for his first in a while, and right. His fourth overall. You've got Baffert, of course, has got plenty. Dale Romans has got one, and Kieran McLaughlin's got the Dead Heat.
Right, sure.
So,
look, it's a fascinating
else.
Race. It's a cool race, and you know, I think when you have these years and you don't have a dominant 3-year-old, that's what's cool about racing is, you know, you're not coming over here to watch one star, you know, an American Pharoah type, you know, year. You're looking at, you know, you're just looking at a wide open group. It's a fascinating race, great betting race if you actually like something. It's not a bet, not a great betting race if you don't have opinions. So you got to be able to remember that. But yeah, cool race, you know.
Well, and for Chad Brown would have an opportunity to join a pretty elite group of Alabama Travers trainer wins. I know Nafsker has got one, and I'll have to go back. I used to have this off the top of my head, but it's only been done a handful of times. So. And obviously only one trainer. You have to have a horse first you have to win the Alabama, then you have to have a horse
right.
in the Travers.
Sure.
So that's those are the qualifiers.
His two horses are good. They're coming to the right, coming to the race the right way. They're live in there for sure.
Well, Travers and the rest of the card will be drawn later today. Entries being taken as we speak at the racing office. And so the big card with all the other and a lot of stars. I mean, I had Asmussen on Monday to talk about, you know, winning another Canadian Triple Crown race with Tone Broke. And, you know, then I started to hit the highlights with him, Sean. He's got a mammoth day lined up when you think about, you know, Midnight Bisou and Matoli and Nitrous. I mean, virtually every race that we hit on, Me and Mischief, he's got activity in you know, everything but the turf races.
Yeah, he's strong. I mean, he's had a good meet. And, you know, like I said, he's got horses in every division. You know, certainly, I mean, that's a great race, Midnight Bisou and the late, and those horses, that'll be fun. I mean, it's a great card of racing.
Let's turn to the jump set, and before we talk about the Saratoga action, Colonial has got coming up to their third weekend already, and it's been so well received, and you didn't waste any time. You got the River D action going, and Snowy goes down and breaks the maiden from Filly and Mare division.
Yeah, Snowy Hill. She's a cool filly. I've actually been watching her for quite a while. I actually picked up on her. She's out of a Lord Avey mare. My friend Hill Parker bred her, owns her, and trains her. And I was betting her when she was running at Belterra. She made her turf debut two turns at Belterra. I was at Laurel one day, and I bet her to win, and I had the exacta and trifecta and superfecta. I mean, one of those rare days when I was just bombing away. And I walked up to the ticket tab with my tickets, the hand and tickets. I said, I guess I'm the only guy betting Belterra around here. And he said, no, you're not the only one betting it, but you're the only one cashing there. So I haven't watched her that long. So she's cool, you know. She's a lovely horse. I just thought she needed a little bit of a relaxing ride. See if you can get her to settle, switch off. The switch to Jack Doyle, I think, helped that. He's got great hands, kept his hands down, gave her a great ride, and just got there. I mean, actually live, didn't think she got there, but she, you know, won by nose. It was fun. Nice. She's cool, 4-year-old filly, and she's a lovely horse, and hopefully we'll improve from there.
Well, you got a much better price on her the other day than you did at Belterra.
Yeah, exactly. I got 9-1, I think, at Belterra. It was okay there. No, she was a good price yesterday, or whenever that was, Saturday. Yeah, we hit the exact, and my nephew Jack Clancy and I were sitting in the box betting nothing like betting a Colonial Downs jump race from Saratoga, you know, as the rain was coming and storm was coming Saturday. So that was fun. It was cool. It was fun to win. Hill Parker's a lovely guy. Works hard. Does it all himself. So it was fun to team up with him and be rewarded for it.
Some thoughts about Colonial's return to the landscape?
Oh, it's great. I mean, I think it's great to have that place going again. I was on the Virginia Thoroughbred Association board for a couple of years, and you know, we'd have all these meetings. This was probably 5 years ago, and you know, we'd have all these meetings and talk about all these things, and ultimately you'd come to the end of every conversation and go, but we don't have live racing. And it was just so frustrating to not have live racing. And I love what they've done. I mean, that short festival turf meet, the purses are good, they're going to get big fields. I love the time they run. I mean, like for me, you know, I can come home from Saratoga, sit at my computer, work on the special, and actually have Colonial Downs in the background. And it's been good racing. I mean, full fields, turf. Guys are going there. Stidham's going. Jonathan Thomas is going. Shug's run horses there. I get a lot of local people there. Susan Cooney's done well. So it's fun. I mean, it's great to have racing back in Virginia. I love the cards they put together. You know, it's quality. Now, by the end of Colonial, it turned out, you know, it wasn't a very strong meet by the end. They were just running cheap turf races, and nobody was following it. But now it's back offering good products. It's fun.
Well, and for the NSA, for the National Steeplechase Association, really a nice harmony given how many outfits are in proximity, and really a nice fit with you know, knowing what was going on. In general, trying to, you know, find a venue, you know, before things fell into place with the Jacobs family and with the, you know, with the new ownership group, John Marshall and company, you know, they were kind of scouting around. I mean, the idea of maybe going to Great Meadow and building a grandstand there and a facility. I mean, this really was a perfect outcome for equine interests of all kinds. Let's turn our attention, Sean Clancy with us, Saratoga Special, of course, and they're in, you know, they're into the short strokes, the last, 9 days of the meet, and a handful of additions left after another great season of the remarkable how they produce a newspaper. And I suppose the extra day off, Sean, revisit that. I suppose that's really helped everybody stay fresh.
Yeah, it's helped for sure. I mean, I think everybody's just, you actually can get a little bit more accomplished in the 2 days off. You have a little bit of a break. I'd love to see him. I kind of would like to see him do Mondays and not do Wednesdays if they were ever, you know, I don't know if they were looking at that, but I think that would be kind of a little bit more fun to kind of go into it. Like a Monday card was kind of fun. And I don't know if they'll think about doing that somewhere along the line, but certainly it's made it easier. You know, you just have a little extra time to, you know, do your laundry and take a little bit of a break and maybe, you know, decompress a little before you get going again. So I like the new schedule. It's obviously long. It's a little too long probably to be here for me, but I understand it. I know why they do it. But, you know, I remember when it was a month, so
I'm like, old purist, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when you go back to the 24 days. Well, let's talk about the Turf Riders Cup tomorrow. And I imagine with this rain today, the turf will be absolutely perfect for the nine that are lining up. And that includes the River D team with Gibralfaro. Talk a little bit about tomorrow's event.
Look, it's a good race. I mean, they got a few less than they did in AP Smithwick, you know, but you get basically the Smithwick field comes back minus Von Romany. Winston C, you know, won the AP Smithwick very impressively, kind of first start out of the novice division. I couldn't have been more impressed with him. He didn't have a great trip. He was finding a little bit, maybe going a little quick for him early. He was kind of, you know, off the bridle in the back and was able to kind of get himself together in the middle of the race, which most horses can't do. And he was impressive. I mean, he drew off 1 by 3.5. The big weight switch, we carried 144 there. He's at 154 tomorrow, so it's a 10-pound switch. If you believe in weight, especially going 2 3/8, especially now a little bit of cut ground, maybe it evens it up. But nice horse, hard to go against him. You got Shepherd in your corner. He's a young, kind of up-and-coming horse. So, he's 4-5 on the morning line for a reason, which, I haven't seen a 4-5 shot in the jump race in a long time.
And everybody's kind of has him circled, but you bring up the weight, and that's, you know, one of the key, really one of the key elements. Was there anybody, looking back at the Smithwick, was there anybody compromised to any degree that, you know, has got extra, you know, a little hidden quality, you know, coming into this? Maybe Hinterland a little bit.
Yeah, Hinterland's kind of an older horse, so, you know, he might have needed it a little bit, knock off a little rust. He runs his race every time. He's steady. He's actually never won. I don't think he's ever won a race in this country, which is hard to believe, but you look back, he's been second, you know, a bunch of grade ones. He's always been kind of a notch below the best, but he ran well in the Smithwick. I thought he ran well. Gibralfaro ran well. I couldn't quite figure out him. He just hit a flat spot. He had a nice spot. He's sitting third, stalking kind of trip. I loved where he was. And then not leaving the backside, they kind of just, everybody just stormed past him, Winston C and Bedrock and a couple others. And it looked like he was going to tail off. And then he kind of came back running and stayed on. So I don't know. I couldn't quite get my, I can't quite figure out why he did that. I mean, if he doesn't do that, maybe he runs a little better. It's my horse, so it's certainly not I'm probably too partial. And I thought No Wonder ran okay. I mean, out of the Bombers at a price, I thought his Smithwick was a little better than it looks probably.
You know, you go back to Jonathan Shepherd for a second, because it occurred to me when you talk about him and the Smithwick, I do not see where he has won. He has certainly won the Smithwick and the Turf Riders Cup in the same year, as recently as 2010 with Divine Fortune and Sermon of Love. But I can't see where he's won both with the same horse in the same year.
Wow, yeah, that's interesting. Back in the day, I'm trying to think of the horses that maybe not. You know, he's what Shepherd has done amazingly well to win the Turf Riders is get in with horses with lightweight. I mean, back when he had a huge stable of horses, I mean, he'd run horses, he'd win the Turf Riders with these horses carrying 140, 142, carrying 144, just really kind of off horses that looked a little bit off form, but got here on a lightweight, all the way back to Double Bill and Yaw and these horses that were just like, I think he won it with Italian Wedding even. He's a pretty average horse. So that's what he was always good at. But now his stable's changed quite a bit. I mean, he used to have, I mean, he might have 10 candidates for the two open stakes at Saratoga, where now, you know, he's down to he's got all the way Jose, of course, kind of an old-timer, and Winston C. But back years ago, I mean, going back 10 years ago, he had an arsenal of horses to aim at this race, where now he doesn't have that kind of stock. But Winston C, I mean, I love Winston Seed, just he's an up-and-coming horse, 5 years old. He had the break after Nashville, which would have done him well, ran well. He wasn't flawless. I mean, he was not flawless in the Smith book. You know what I mean? When you watch a horse run and you think, oh, he did everything right, everything fell his way, and he won the race. He actually, it didn't go perfectly. I mean, he had to, he wasn't traveling that great the first part of it. He was too far back early, kind of had to gather himself together, and did. So, he, out of all the horses, I mean, you can look and say, wow, you know, some horses might improve from the Smithwick. Winston C's got every reason to improve as well. Same thing, second start in this country, off the layoff from Nashville, didn't get a great trip. First start against open company, which, you know, should, you know, after that, he should be a little better. He's hard to go against, really hard to go against.
Well, and of course, back to Gibralfaro for you and your team, fourth and a good fourth in the Smithwick. How does he improve on it?
It's a good question. I mean, I think he's got to kind of try not to hit that flat spot like he did there. And, you know, maybe he runs a little bit better. I think the weight, again, the weight's got to be, I mean, you know, weight. I mean, I'm not that, I sort of never get that focused on weight, but I do think it makes, you know, carrying a 10-pound switch going 2 3/8, especially with soft ground, might make a difference. But having said all this, it looks like it's going to rain all day, or supposed to start, it's clear, not clear, but it's at least stopped raining right now. But, you know, it might rain all afternoon. I don't know what it's, you know, if you know, we might not even have the race if it rains more this afternoon. I mean, we've got a lot of rain. So I personally, with Gibralfaro, I'd rather have a firm turf course than soft. I think he's a little better on firm, but he'll deal with it. He can handle it, but probably a little bit better on firm.
Well, at the worst, if we do get, you know, nonstop weather, then I imagine that this could get pushed back to maybe to Friday, right? And they wouldn't delay till next week.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, you know, they've already taken entries for Friday, so I guess, I mean, they're obviously not going to Travers Day. I mean, their first opportunity would be Sunday, but they're probably not going to make this call until, you know, after entries are taken. So I don't know, maybe even reschedule for next week, you know, where it came back on Wednesday or Thursday of next week. I don't really know what they're going to do. But I don't know. I read one thing quick. It looked like it was going to rain, maybe hail later today. So any of that, yeah, it's not going to be, you know, I don't know if they'll, I don't know what they'll do. And then you got to kind of look, if they do have the race, who, you know, who's best on soft ground. You know, you get a lot of the European horses, but a lot of them came over because they, you know, they wanted kind of more of a good ground, a firm ground. You know, Winston C handled soft at Sandown, which would be pretty soft. You know, he can probably handle it. Although, you know, soft, his race at Aintree and soft ground wasn't that great. Gibralfaro can deal with it, but again, I don't think he's better on it. Hinterland probably wouldn't bother him. You know, Modem has dealt with it over there, but I don't think he's in great form. All the way, Jose probably doesn't really want it. Soft. Pepe Le Pew wasn't a soft ground horse over there. So I don't know. You know, it'd be interesting to see who handles it. Looking just on bare form, Winston C's probably got as good a form as anybody on soft ground. So,
wow. Even more of an advantage. Well, it's been a good season, and the Turf Riders Cup, the second of the grade ones, before we, you know, return and work toward Far Hills in October. We'll see how things play out in the morning. No race today. No Walsh Novice today. So that's got to be rescheduled, and everything else off the turf as well, including the John's Call. And We can't think about the John's Call without a tip and a warm thought to Tom Voss.
Yeah, for sure. You missed him around here. I just saw Elizabeth Voss's couple of her with Modem and No Wonder, and they're still, you know, they're behind the THV, the yellow webbings with the black THV, and you see those webbings, you kind of keep thinking you're going to see Tom come around the corner on old John's Call or Mickey Free or one of those great old ponies of his. And yeah, he just missed him around here. He was just part of the fabric here, you know.
No doubt. And over in that corner by the Fifth Avenue gate and in that little grassy patch with cigarette after cigarette going, Tommy Voss the Giants call today, and I'm anxious to see who even goes. Pretty clever by Canizzo to enter MTO with Turco Bravo. That was smart.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised there weren't more main track only horses in there. I mean, I'm kind of surprised there isn't more. I know Highland Skies, it sounds like he's going to run.
Wow.
I'm not sure who else would run, but I did hear that he sounded like he was going to run.
Sean Clancy. You follow Sean, of course, on Twitter by Sean Clancy and Saratoga Special. You can sign up and have it delivered right to your box. So the first thing in the morning, you can basically feel like you're hanging around Saratoga reading the special. And Sean, our friend Leslie Knopf says she saw you at the screening last night, and we talked to Melody and Jody yesterday in advance of Born to Reign. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, it was cool. It was really as a racing fan or historian, you're just kind of glad they did it just to get it all as try to have that as for posterity. It was cool. John David's story is amazing. Obviously, Jack Vanberg is great stuff. You know, you learn some stuff about them. It was cool. Just glad it's preserved for forever. It's fascinating. It makes you kind of think about their influence and what they accomplished. And it's just a great treasure to kind of keep those guys in your mind. Keep them alive. Keep them out there.
Sean Clancy, everybody, and Sean, I appreciate it. We'll see you later in the week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
I appreciate it. Sean Clancy, let's take the break here, 15 minutes to the top of the hour. And John Mazza, speaking of history, John has been on the backstretch in Jersey for 50-plus years. And the win Saturday in the Monmouth Oaks, I mentioned before the break, first break, 27 years between graded stake wins. And we're going to talk to him, a horologist, Upset Jaywalk. John's got a great history, particularly with young horses. He won himself a hopeful. Great Navigator. Remember Great Navigator? And he had a really nice turf mare, Siggy Bo. Where's Siggy Bo? Late 80s? John Mazza from Jersey when we come back. Sid Fernando in a little bit, too. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRFSports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sormon Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, well, come on, everybody, and let's get together tonight. I got some money in my jeans, and I'm really gonna spend. Well, I've been doing my homework all the week along. And now the house is empty and my folks are gone. Woo, come on everybody.
We're back at the races, 10 minutes to the top of the hour, and an absolute pleasure to have John Mazza join us off the Monmouth Oaks win on Saturday, beating Jaywalk and Horologist, a Jersey bred. And John, you've been winning with Jersey breds for 50 years. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
You know, the first horse I thought about when I saw that, you know, I saw that Horologist had upset Jaywalk, I thought of Siggy Bo. And
oh, yes. Yeah.
Right?
Siggy Bo, remember
her? She was a Jersey bred, right?
Yeah. She was a good filly. I won the prep for the Queen Elizabeth with her.
Absolutely. And
then we got beat our nose in the Queen Elizabeth because Rick Wilson had a problem with health. And so I got Chris Anley. I flew him there with a private jet to ride her at Keeneland. And she just got beat on the wire. Yep, that was fun day.
That was 88.
Yep. That was a man of the year that year. Well, in Belmont Park. Yeah,
she was tremendous. She won the Little Silver. She won the Boiling Springs.
Yeah,
you went up to the Meadowlands actually, and she didn't run great at the Meadowlands in the Queen Charlotte.
No, she didn't like the night race, and she was a little skittish. But she was a good filly, that Sigaboo. You know, some name.
It was a great name.
Mr. Brodkin. I bought her private for $35,000 from Mr. Brodkin, and he was my friend. He was the president of Massachusetts Financial Service in Boston, and he was my personal friend.
Daffodil, right? Daffodil.
Daffodil Farm, yeah. Daffodil Farm. Yeah, but he passed away on me, a sad day. But I had some good horses for him. I went to the sale and bought horses for him, and we were successful, very successful.
Well, and 88 in particular was a tremendous year because you had that nice Divine Answer too, the good 2-year-old.
Yeah, I bought her for $35,000 too. Yeah.
She was, in fact, you know, when I think about, I know that she had won, you know, some 2-year-old stakes, and I mentioned Great Navigator because I'm pretty
Great
sure
Navigator,
I was here that day when he won the Hopeful.
Oh boy, that was a good day too. Yeah, Bill Ron Stable. Yeah, I bought him in a sale for $70,000. Yeah.
Who was he by?
Gulch.
How about that?
Yeah. Oh, he was a wonderful horse. He could run. You know, they offered me $1 million for him, but then I ran him and some more stakes. He ran well, and then he broke down in Atlantic City in that, I forget the name of the race. Montplier beat him. but he broke down at the wire. And they still wanted to buy him. He broke down, but we couldn't save him. We tried to save him at the University of Pennsylvania, but we couldn't. He was too damaged there.
He's buried at
center field in Monmouth Park here.
You know what? I had forgotten that he's one of the horses that's buried at the racetrack.
Yeah, he's buried here. That's where we put him in the Bobby Colina. Let me bury him there at the finish line, right where the trees are, right in a beautiful spot.
Oh, boy. Yeah. He really, that 1993 group of three-year-olds, I mean, he ran against a lot of good horses.
Very good horses, yeah. Yeah, if you take a look at it, they were runners. But he did it so easy. When I blew him out for the race, I was going nuts because he went too fast, you know? He went in 45 and changed. Half of mine, I thought, oh, Christ, there goes my race. But he went anyway.
I'm just looking. He won first asking in July. Then you brought him back in the – you got beaten the Tyro.
Yep, he did. Yeah, he was coughing after the race, you know. But he had an excuse.
Well, then in the Sapling, you ran into Gilded Time.
Oh, my God, he was a fast horse. He was very fast, that horse.
And Wild Zone. Wild Zone. Who was that, Benny Perkins?
Yeah, Benny Perkins, yeah. Yep, and he was in that. Well, I'll tell you, but it was a lot of fun. I really loved that horse.
I'm just looking, Gulch out of a French mare.
Yep.
Nalco.
The name of the mare, great navigator's mom, bro. Natilla?
Nalco.
Nalco. Yeah. She's a foreign mare. Yeah. Well, but I loved him. I loved the way he moved, and you know he got sick at the sale. So I got a little worried about buying him, you know, and he had a little temper that bought him anyway for $70,000. Because he moved so well when he galloped, you know. He didn't breeze. You know, I bought him and I took a chance there. But he wound up being a really good horse.
That was at Calder. Yeah. That was at the Calder sale.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, that's right.
And you know, that year he ran into Hidden Trick and Sea Hero and Bull in the Heather in the Florida Derby. What went wrong in the Florida Derby after you'd run so well in the Fountain?
Oh, he got sick after the race. I mean, he might, you know, the weather was so bad, you know, humid and terrible, and I had problems with him coughing, you know. But he was okay. He got good. No temperature or anything. So I went ahead and run him. I think he was third in the Florida Derby, wasn't he?
Second in the Fountain. He had been fourth in the Hutchison. But then he was actually 11th. 11th in the Florida Derby before.
He got sick. And he was sick after the rain. You know, the next morning he had a little temp. But, the weather in Florida is funny, you know.
Well, you have as big as the hopeful win, obviously, and that signature Grade One win. But I'm sure that picture in winning the Bahamas at Hialeah, that's got to be a pretty special photograph too. That was his last win.
It sure is. Yeah, it was up in that cabinet for a long time. That the Bahamas. Yeah, that was another great day. I had some good days in this business.
No doubt. Herbie Castillo aboard for that. And you beat
Herbie, Yeah, he was a good horse. I've had some good Jersey breds. Star Edition, Carrots Only, Capture the Goal. I raised some good horses. I worked for Honeycrisp Farm for going on 60 years now.
Wow.
You know, private trainer. I wasn't private at the beginning. I had other horses, too. But, then he asked me to be a private trainer, and I did. But I still take outside horses once in a while, you know. It's been a long run for me.
Well, and you don't seem like you're interested in retiring.
Oh, no, they're going to bury me alongside a great navigator.
Well,
yeah, I'm not going to retire. What am I going to do? Get up
exactly.
At 4 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, yeah. I love horses, and, you know, I have a passion for horses. I love my outfit, and I got good people working around me. Yeah, good, you know, the Santarello has been with him a long time. He's a beer distributor, and I've been with him actually since he was 18, 19 years old.
Unbelievable.
Because I worked for Joe Colina for many years when I was 12 years old, when I was young. And Joe trained for him, but he was a young boy then. His father had a beer distributor, and, of course, they had money. And that's how I met Vinny, and then he built a farm out in Locust here, 40 acres, and we've been raising horses since. I pulled a lot of babies out of the mares, you know. And we built a good reputation for ourselves, and Man of the Year at Monmouth Park, and I was Man of the Year in New Jersey. And I've got a bunch of awards, but I forgot about them.
Well, they're not going to – they're going to have to put you back in the limelight and in consideration, because this horologist – John, put into perspective, this is a serious filly. She's a gemologist, and you mentioned your people, Holly Crest. This is a homebred, and she, you know, she won by 20 in her debut.
Yeah, she's a nice filly. The mother was game, you know. She broke her sussboard and finished second in the race. She wasn't a good horse, but she was okay. She was just a regular horse. But she proved to be a gemologist, a good match, you know. But I think we're going to go to the Cotillion. I guess that's the only place to go right now for 3 years.
Why
won't? You know?
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
I know everybody's telling me to, but she pulled up like she didn't run. She went to the track this morning. I had to send her to the track because she's feeling so darn good. I don't want her to step on herself, you know.
Absolutely.
But she's watched 24 hours a day here, and we run a good shed, you know. People have been with me for years.
Yeah, well, she's won four straight now, John. Four straight as a 3-year-old after that good 2-year-old, you know, showing some real signs. It feels like she's, you know, really just hitting her stride as she matures, you know, deep into her 3-year-old season.
Yeah, she's developing. She put on weight, and she filled out in the rear end. Her shoulders filled out, and you could see her just growing, and she's so happy, and she's 100% sound. She doesn't have a hair turned the wrong way, and that's what I like about her. Her confirmation is good. There's nothing wrong with her, you know. Her attitude is, desire is there, and she is getting better. She ran a 93 Byers the other day.
Yep,
and you know, she keeps going up the ladder, and she pulls up so good. You know, I get to put the lip chain on her sometimes because she hurt herself, you know, and I padded her stall so she won't get hurt, you know. We're on a roll.
I love it. It's tremendous. The mile in the eighth, you know, the thing that's intriguing about her and coming out of this Monmouth Oaks, you know, this was her first time going a mile and a 16th, and it really felt like, you know, a full mile and an eighth is going to be right in her wheelhouse.
Right in her pathway. Yep, I always thought she'd go long. Stephen got even, went long. Some of the horses in her family. We still have captured a crown. She's out in the field. She's 30 years old. We still have her. She's alive. And she looks like a 3-year-old. And she's retired, of course, you know. But she's 30 years old, and she looks like $1 million. They're one of her family members, you know.
I love it.
I know. I look at her, and I look at this filly. They don't look alike, but boy, they run similar. But she had leg problems, captured a crown back in the old days, and had problems with her splints and everything like that. But this filly has no problem, not even a pimple, not even a hair turned wrong.
I love
it. And that's what. Yeah, me too. Because I think she'll last longer. I'm getting a lot of offers to buy her. big money, you know. But Cameron, the fellow that owns, he's a 28-year-old banker, 27 years old, and he's a banker, and he's my friend. He's a personal friend of mine. It's not like he's an owner, you know, but he is a personal friend.
Well, this is a fun story, and you know, knowing how long you've been plying the trade, and of course your son as well, right? Your son's out there,
Joey. Yeah. He runs them out of line, but he's got cheap horses, but he runs them too high. I try to tell him, you don't take a hamburger and run them in a steak sandwich. But take a steak sandwich and run them for a hamburger, you'd be better off. But you don't listen.
That's great.
What son listens to you?
You know? That's a great line.
He's 61 years old. I had him when I was 19.
What got you on the racetrack?
My dad owned a farm. I've been with horses since I was 4 years old, 5 years old.
How about that?
Yeah, we used to rent stalls to Monmouth Park back in the old days in 1948, 1949, back in them days, 1940s, during the war. Yeah, my dad, they built stalls there, and then Monmouth Park used to rent the stalls. Yeah, we had a racetrack there and on the farm in Wayside, New Jersey. That's how I got into the horse business. My dad owned some horses, you know.
And there was
training ever since. But my biggest moment was working for Joe Colina for about 18 years. He was such a good horseman that it was easy to learn from him, you know. And of course, Bobby was born when I worked for Joe. I was a little boy then. And then summertime, I go to school the wintertime, but the summertime I'd go to work for Joe every time he came to Mullith, and he was my best friend, Joe Colina. Yeah, and Joe started training for Hollycrest when he was 18, 19 years old. And Vinny, you know, I kind of grew up with Vinny, Mr. Anarello, that owns Hollycrest. And that's how I got involved with Hollycrest. I wasn't private at the beginning, but then they asked me to be a private trainer, and I did. And I've been a private trainer for 59 years, I guess.
Amazing. Just amazing.
How many years? Yeah.
Well,
yeah, we lost and we win, you know.
Exactly.
You know this business.
Well, and you've got to have – one hard thing about this career of yours, John, it's got to be a little tough to see some of your contemporaries, that let's be honest, are gone. And I think about Danny Perlswag, right? He must have been
– Gary's my friend, yeah.
Yeah.
George Handy, I just got out the phone with him. He's 96 years old. he's my buddy for 50 years, George Handy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, because in the old days, we used to get done racing in New Jersey at Garden State. Then Joe used to send me to New England. I got my trainer's license when I was 18. Joe let me get my trainer's license for to run at Narragansett and Lincoln Downs and them tracks up there just to get rid of the cheap horses. And around Christmas time, my brother Pete would go to Aiken and start breaking the babies. And then I went there after I got done getting rid of all the junk of Joe Carolina. And I used to drive to Aiken, South Carolina, and break the babies and come back and do the same thing every year. We used to go to Aiken every winter. And that was our routine. We spent Christmas home with the family, and that was my life in them days. But we were successful because Joe was an extremely good trainer, and I still have all his training charts. And that's
wow.
Something.
Wow.
Yeah, I still have his training charts, and I kept him with me, and I kept him safe. And I go back and for reference once in a while. I'm still learning.
That says a lot. That's what this is. There isn't a day that goes by, no matter how experienced you are, that there isn't something you see for the first time.
Right. I've seen it all. Everything in this business. You see it, and you let it sink in, you know. And this is I guess that helped me in my career, training horses, you know. But Joe Colina was the best. Yep. And Bobby's still around. I just talked to Bobby the other day. He retired from Mammoth Park.
Right.
He was here for many years, yeah. But he's my buddy. Yeah. Well, and that's my life.
John.
I'm still with Holly Chris.
Well, and still, you know, still sending out good horses and, you know, having 2 year olds what they say, you know, that'll keep you young as long as there's a couple of 2 year olds in the shed.
Oh yeah. We usually raise about 6 or 7 every year. We wind up with 2 or 3 good ones. And some of the slow ones we give away, you know, to little girls around the area.
Nice.
And we keep track of them because I don't want nothing to happen to them. And if they have problems with them, they send them right back to Hollycrest. I won't let them go, you know.
Nice.
I the back paddock has got stake horses in it, about 4 of them. Carrots Only and Capture the Crown and a couple other stake horses, Jersey Blues. He was a horse of the year in Jersey Blues. I just turned him out with the retired horses. We have a big paddock in the back of the farm.
Nice.
Yeah, I love horses.
It's a great life. I mean, look what you've done, you know, for yourself and raise a family, and here you are 82, and you know, it gives you a reason to get up every morning.
Oh yeah, I'm at 4 o'clock every single morning, 7 days a week. You know, I've been doing it all my life, and it's just automatic. You know, but I do have a bad back. I have had heart surgery 3 years ago, open heart surgery, the triple bypass, and I'm just getting over that now, but I have a bad back. I had a pony fall on me when I was 19.
Ooh.
I worked for Joe Colina and crushed my pelvis and my spine. But you know, when you're young, you bounce back. The pain doesn't mean anything when you're young. But boy, as I got older, it got worse and worse and worse.
Sure.
And I don't walk that well, but I'm working out now, and I got machines I go on, and it's helping me.
Well, having horologist go on a 4-race win streak and win a Mammoth Oaks and taking you to Keystone to Philly Park to win a Cotillion might be all right.
Yeah, that's the greatest. I'll tell you, I feel good. You know, it makes me get up in the morning.
John, I am so happy for you, and I couldn't wait when I saw that you won this race. And I, you know, I said when the entries came out, I said the only horse that can beat Jaywalk in here is Horologist. You were the only horse, you know, in the zip code, in the area code with Jaywalk. And you know, then Angel Suarez was, you know, considering he got on her for the first time, he was confident as can be the way he rode her.
Well, you know, that kid, he can ride. All the years I've been around, you see the bad riders and the riders that don't want to go on the rail. You know, you see a lot in this business, which you know. But that kid, he's so smart. He's got a good head on him. He's a serious jock. He had problems in his life. He had some serious problems, you know, of drinking and well, you know, whatever happened to him, he went to pieces. But he got his life together about 4 years ago, and I say he's been doing good. And that's I chose him to ride her because he's got a good head on him. And he listened to orders when I told him to stalk. Don't go head and head. Last time I ran it with Jersey Brace, he went, Joe Bravo, he's a good rider too. But he went head and head with that darn crazy Daisy or whatever that horse was. and it's kind of, I thought it was going to knock her out, but it didn't. She still win on class alone. The buyers wasn't that big, but the quality of the field wasn't any good either. But she came out of it good, and I gave her plenty of time in between races. And when you give her plenty of time, she runs her heart out. She wants it. Her desire is there.
Well, when she won that race in May at the beginning of the meet, when she won that open company race, she beat some serious horses. She beat Tweeting. She beat Gotham Gala. That was the indication that she was a real horse.
We know that, yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
You got that right, yeah. Well, you know.
John, I think this visit you just gave everybody, not that there aren't nice fillies and people will be rooting, you know, for their favorites in the cotillion, but you won, I'm sure, a bunch of fans that'll be rooting for you and Horologist come Philly. We'll see you at Parks too.
You know, literally, I got about 45 phone calls. Aww. My damn phone was smoking. from California, you don't know how many friends you got until they text you, and they're still. This morning I got 3 texts. You know, and then but people want a buyer now. There's 4 serious buyers. But Cameron was here this morning to watch her train, and I don't think he wants to sell right now. You know, we want to go to the cotillion and see what she's made out of, but I know she can run. She's game, you know.
She put herself right in the picture with the best 3-year-old fillies in the country with that effort. There's no doubt about it.
I know.
You beat the 2-year-old champion.
That's what everybody's talking about. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm proud of her. I'm very proud of my horse.
No, John.
I'm proud of my help.
A great job.
My help is, the excise boy, Cal Juarez, his son is Nick Juarez, the jock. He's leading rider here, and his father works for me. He was, I got to give him a lot of credit for settling the horse down, you know, because she was a little on the nervous side. Now she's calm, and she goes out there, and she thinks she owns the racetrack, you know.
Hmm.
I got to give him a lot of credit, you know, to developing her, you know.
Well, you got to that's what having, you know, staff you can rely on and that understand your approach and everybody works together to make a horse have a career.
That's what I try to do. From the groom to the hot worker that walks her, only him walks her, and she looks forward to for him to, you know, the horse gets used to people, and then she's very intelligent, that boy. She's a smart animal.
Well, and the performance on the racetrack is justifying the expectations and the hard work that's going in, and the cotillion, the next stop. I love it. John Mazza, continued success, and we'll see you in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'd like to have your phone number.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send you another text.
Oh, yeah, the name with it on it, you know?
You bet. I'll give you all the details and how you can listen to.
I'm going to give you a call when we run.
Excellent.
Okay.
John, I can't thank you enough. I really was looking forward to this.
Thank you. I can't thank you enough. Thank you for the publicity, and, I'm getting up there in age.
Not really. But, doesn't sound like it. No, nobody here would believe you're 82. Believe me.
Yeah, I'm 82. I look like I'm about 40.
Especially when you're winning graded stakes with Horologists. That'll keep you young.
Yeah, no, when you work outdoors, you stay young.
That's right. That's it. That's it.
Good horses, they keep you young. All right, buddy.
John, thank you.
Thank you very, very much, and I really appreciate it.
Not at all. We do, and everybody I know enjoyed it. You're gonna hear from another 45 people after this visit. I guarantee it.
thank you very much.
Not at all. John Mazza, everybody, and Horologist. Now you got yourself a rooting interest in the cotillion if you didn't have one before. Let's take a break. Sid Fernando is going to join us next. Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillandale. Stay with us.